Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the year 2026, archaeologists working in the Nevada desert discovered a portal to an ancient city on Mars. They call this portal the Ark. 20 years later, we're still struggling to understand why it was built and what happened to the civilization that built it.
I'm not supposed to die. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, episode 404. That's not an error. It's the number. The whole thing crashed. It's FilmSack 404.
Film not found.
Last episode
I
of the
wish.
Year. Yeah. Last episode of 2018. Buckle up, everybody. It's going to be fun. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. He likes to teleport and then puke Dunaway.
Oh, hi. Yes. This is Sarge. What am I doing right now? Oh, nothing much. Just sitting here shirtless in front of my computer shopping for shirts that I'll most likely outgrow in a month because I'm a freak. What's that? Semper Fi, shop or die. Oh, yes. Very clever, sir. So what can we do for you today? Are my guys up for a quick trip to Mars? By way of the bowels of the Nevada desert? Yes, we can do that. Hey, has anyone told Elon Musk we found that portal? No? So he's still shooting those cars into space? Man, he's going to be so bummed when he finds out. Sorry, Rocket Man, maybe smoking pot can be your new hobby. Anywho, hey, while I have you on the line, sir, can you look into getting me access to one of those BFGs for the barracks? The other guys here never invite me to indoor batting practice anymore. And I feel like a big friendly gun would really go a long way towards making that right. Hey, wait a minute. Reaper? As in Grim Reaper? Because his name is Grim? Last name? Mm-hmm. Oh, I just got that. Oh, now my handle seems kind of lazy. Sarge?
Nice one. Also with us, Randy Sewer Imp Jordan.
Aloha, Scott, Brian, yeah. Brian, Stem Pack, Orange Julius, Mustache Guy, yeah. 123 Kid, yeah. Mad Clown, Spicoli, Sugar Raymond, Aloha Topper, Buttersworth, Jiffy, Green Hat, Meat Lover, CrossFit Guy, Middle Tooth, Aloha Wegman, Pinky, Brain, Fatty Tuna, Grandma, Lil Cheeky, Big Cheeky, I see you there. Aloha, Ford, Lincoln, Mercury, Batman, John, Steelix. I'm sorry, guys. We had a mission, but we missed deployment during roll call.
They are the dumbest nicknames in the history of video game film adaptations. I'm just going to
say. Was I Orange Julius, by the way?
You were also Steelix, and yeah. You were also Wegman.
Nice. You always make a good Wegman. And finally with us, Brian, can you smell what the bad video game film adaptation is cooking? Ibbit.
Wow, how appropriate. And I'm picking up right where Dunaway's left off. All right, men, I'm going to have to cancel our leave. We've got a mission.
And this isn't going to be an easy mission. Some of you won't come back alive. The ones that do come back alive won't come back with any quarters in their pockets. This is going to be tougher than the mission in Russia, where giant blocks were falling from the sky, and we had to arrange them into lines to make them disappear. Private Dunaway, do you remember the name of that mission?
Sir, no, sir.
The Russian one where the giant blocks were, giant blocks falling from the sky in Russia?
Was it Tetris?
I am a superior officer, Private Dunaway, and you will address me as such. Now, what was the name of that mission?
Tetris, sir.
Right.
Tetris.
And this mission is going to be tougher than the mission where we found ourselves in an underground cave, armed only with a bicycle pump, and we had to dig our way out, all the while fighting off fire-breathing dragons and beach balls with ski goggles. Private Deluxe, what was the name of that mission?
Sir, Dig Dug, sir.
Right. And this mission will be tougher than the mission where we were suddenly turned into animated versions of ourselves that had to rescue Princess Daphne, and every time we died, we had to start over from the beginning. What was the name of that mission, Private Johnson?
Mission Donkey Kong, sir!
No! Shit! Yeah, Princess Daphne, animated...
Wait, Daphne? Dragon's Lair, sir!
Right, well... All right, well, this mission won't be as tough as Operation Dragon's Lair. That mission cost me about $30 in quarters.
True story.
And the video disc would skip all the time.
Poor laser disc.
I don't know why I thought Daphne... Why I always get her mixed up with... who's the lady that Donkey Kong took? Donkey it wasn't Kong Peach. His other lady before Peach.
Princess, another castle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Damn it. I can't remember it. But anyway, it doesn't matter because we're talking about Doom. Yeah, that's right. Doom, the video game, and now the movie. Finally, it's come to theaters in 2005. And many of us were pissed and didn't go see it. At least I didn't. Because I knew it was going to be poop. And sure enough, from all accounts and box office records and everything else, it was a big, hot, giant poop that was dropped in the year of 2005. Another great year for other movies, like you got your Serenity that year. You had... a third Star Wars movie of the prequels. It was probably the best of the prequels. And then you got the, Batman Begins. That was that year. So it was it was a good year, 2005. And Doom was not a good movie at all. In fact, it's really bad. It's a bad movie, guys. I'm just going to say it early and proud. But before I say anything else, Scott Fletcher's back.
Doom. Space Marines are sent to investigate strange events at a research facility on Mars, but find themselves at the mercy of genetically enhanced killing machines.
All right, that's not the movie that's not the video game I played. The video game I played, it was a portal from hell that opened on Earth, and all the demons came from hell to fight people on Earth.
This is based on Doom 3, right?
Yeah, more Doom 3 than
We have to also consider maybe there was another portal on Mars that went to hell, and really Mars was just kind of a way station between hell and Earth. Right. Like it was, we don't have any direct portals from hell to Earth. All right, we have to take Mars. All right, and what's the layover time?
Yeah, no.
But then this movie doesn't fit at all, because this movie is about one of the biggest tropes in sci-fi, which is science is going to go wrong and kill us. It doesn't matter if somebody is doing science somewhere, they're doing it wrong, and it's going to turn people into monsters that kill us.
Yeah, no, that's the entire premise of the thing. And I guess Doom always kind of had this too, because the reason the portal had opened in Doom 1 and continued through Doom 2 was a science experiment gone wrong here.
Right.
Very funny movie. They named the scientist who screwed all this up Dr. Carmack.
Carmack. Yeah, I love that. He's a rocket scientist.
They had Dr. Carmack and they had Dr. Willits, one of the early founders, aka employees of id Software. So they were throwing all kinds of little insider bits there, which is fine. I don't mind any of that. But they just kind of whole cloth said, you know, what if it was like Resident Evil meets a bad Aliens remake, you know, like here
that was
go.
My biggest complaint about this movie while I was watching it was thinking, man, I wish they would just make a decision, either go full on just we're Doom and we're not apologizing and we're just going to go over the top. Because the last 20 minutes, the thing that I was dreading the most, hadn't seen this before, the thing I was dreading the most was the first person shooter part. Mm-hmm. But it was actually the last 20 minutes, which is where that occurs, is probably the best part of the movie.
There's a point in this movie where you realize, oh, I'll bet The Rock and Carl Urban are gonna fight, and then you start realizing, ooh, I'll bet it's going to be the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And then when you finally get there, you're like, oh, and they're going to have superpowers. This should be awesome. And it, and
yes,
the problem is the whole movie sucks so bad that it doesn't actually have to be that good at the end to entertain you. You're just so damn glad that you finally got to the Rock and Carl Urban fighting.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I wrote that in my notes specifically, that the fight at the end isn't bad. And I think it's just not bad given everything that came before it. And also, I think the best actor in this movie is The Rock, even though he's just doing the same thing he does in all movies he's in.
Yeah, just cooking and making everybody smell it.
Just yeah, it. That's it. But he is not known for, you know, there's not a lot of range to The Rock, and I'm fine with that. I don't have a problem with it.
This is earlier Rock for us, too. So we were still looking at, you know, let's use The Rock's, you know, amazing choreographed fighting skills. And so that played well in this movie. But I'll be honest with you. I've seen The Rock with no hair for so long that having a little bit of peach fuzz on top of his head kind of bothered me.
Yeah, it's a little weird to see it.
Bothered me a little bit.
He had a lot of that, though, back in the wrestling days. He had a lot of hair up there.
Yeah, he did.
As that started to go away, and as he went more full Hollywood, it seems like he also went more full steroids. Right. I don't know. I can't actually speak to that.
He was much so much bigger now.
Yeah.
Not as much hair as he has in that old parachute pants photograph.
Oh, yeah. Love that one.
Circling around the internet for a while.
Yeah, that one where he's like
20. So I want to disagree with Scott here.
Mm.
I felt like a lot of the roles were like real cut and dried, and there wasn't any room for someone to act. Like Rosamund Pike is a fantastic actress. Mm. She didn't have a part really here. Like she just had to play the caricature of the sister scientist. That old standard. Anyway, I just want to argue the best performance, the best performance in the film is by Richard Brake as Portman. Cause he has to play somebody who is just weird, and he does it. He goes for it. It's great. You're weirded out by Richard Brake in every time he's speaking.
Is he the one that's he's the religious guy?
He's the one with the yellow teeth who's always sneering.
Okay, yeah. Now that okay. Here's a
drugs.
Yeah,
doot.
Here's the fun side note about that. I was just talking to Ibbot about this yesterday that I had watched while on the treadmill. Mandy. Okay, that movie.
Oh
with
yeah, that was good.
Nick Cage. Weird
oh,
ass.
Nicolas Cage.
What a weird movie that is. Mandy is a weird freaking movie. Is the best way I can put it. And I don't even know if I recommend it. I think I do. I don't know. Anyway, it's really weird, bloody, strange. And that guy's totally in that. And I just finished that and then rolled right into Doom and went, there he is again.
Richard Brake.
Yeah. In that thing, he played what's the character called the chemist. And in this one, he's Porter. The one's always complaining. Portman.
And what was his nickname supposed to mean? Excuse my ignorance, but I didn't. I got everybody else's kind of. But
I don't know if he had one. Was it just...
is his last name
British guy trying to pretend like he has a good American accent? Probably is what his nickname stands for. I mean, they were all doing this. Almost everybody's British except for The Rock. Everybody else, Rosamund Pike, for example, struggled to keep her accent in check most of the movie. She's better than this in other stuff, so I don't know what was going on then.
She's great in Gone Girl. I mean, plays the role just exactly how you'd need it to be played for kind of sympathy and then. Not sympathy later on in the film.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, without giving anything away.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you though, I would sign on to watch a TV series developed around John Grimm and Samantha Grimm solving crime and that kind of stuff. I thought the characters themselves were kind of interesting.
And you mean played by these two actors, right? Because that's what
even better because I like
them together. I thought they had good chemistry.
Yeah.
Good chemistry.
So this is him post Lord of the Rings, when he was in Lord of the Rings, but this is pre any of the Star Treks. This is, I think, right before he was, he would do the
Judge Dredd
deal. Yeah, the Dredd movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So this is a kind of a weird in-betweener time for him. And I really like him, but I thought this was just, it's not his fault because I like him in everything. He's great in everything I see him in. He's got great swagger and attitude. Even his Dr. McCoy is just perfect for it. In this, he's just, I don't think they use him properly. He just stares in the distance a lot and shoots at stuff. That's it.
I think you can really rest the blame for how bad this movie is on the screenwriting, basically the story and the direction. Because again, it's good actors, good actresses, but them directing Rosamund Pike to be so flat and dull, and even Carl Urban to be so flat and dull. It's like they said, well, we're going to put all of our eggs in the rock basket. And
Going into the rock basket.
Well, I think that speaks a lot to just Dwayne Johnson's ability to play this thing he plays in every movie. He's just good at it naturally. He just is good at going, you know, looking at the camera and going, I'm in charge here. It just sounds good coming from him, and it feels legit, and like he's got power in the room, and he's just good at it. And I think it so overshadows everyone else that it's easy to want to go, well, you only paid attention to The Rock, but I have a feeling that he just came in there with the right pants on, and everybody else is just like, you know,
with no shirt.
Which is exactly where I want to say this movie wasn't that bad. Like, it's real easy to just go, oh, horrible movie, everybody should hate it. But I could watch this movie. Like, it's not so bad that I was mad at it. I came away feeling like, oh, you know, if somebody came over, like, never seen Doom and throws it on, I'll sit and watch it with them.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting about this? The thing that fell for this movie for me the most, and maybe I just wasn't in the right lighting or something, but I could not see anything. I felt like I was constantly in the dark. I didn't feel like I was visually seeing anything interesting.
That will
turn me off lots of times.
Yeah.
I didn't write a lot of notes for this movie, but one of the notes I did write is, boy, don't they have any lights in this research station? Yeah.
I actually, there was one brightly lit scene, I think when they first go through the portal and they come out on the other side and they're inside the Grand Central Station of Mars.
I realized,
oh, I can see everything. And I thought to myself, I wonder if it's just the transfer for Netflix. And so then I just turned the brightness way up and it was fine. I never thought about it again.
Interesting. That might've been a problem. I really felt like that. I was like, is my TV misadjusted or something? Might be the transfer. Might be right. Because I figured they were going dark because Doom 3 is a very dark game. That's when they're kind of was supposed to be basing most of this on.
Yeah.
And I got what they were going for, but it just is a difference when you're playing as a first person shooter in a dark environment because you're constantly focused in and looking as hard as you can and then getting those jump scares. In a movie, it's like, I don't even know what characters are on the screen right now. Right. I'm like, I don't even know who that is.
So three from a just strictly video game standpoint, three was obviously the first one since the, you know, 2D pixelated stuff of the first two.
Not that dark, right? Those are not
right,
dark.
Those
at
aren't
all.
Very dark. Third one comes out in 2002 or three, whatever it was, and was the big driver of the story was, hey, Carmack's got this new engine where they've got crazy specular highlighting stuff going on and shaders that make everything seem dark and twisted and weird. It was a little more Resident Evil, the video game, than Doom traditionally was. More survival horror, more creeping around slowly and less just blow everything up in your way, which they are now back to with the new games, the one in 2016 and the one that's coming out next year. They're very much, you know, they've gone back to what made Doom great, which is fast-paced, ridiculous action with a heavy metal soundtrack behind it.
I kind of wish
this movie had gone a little more, not silly, but a little more just embrace the Doom guy in green armor who doesn't ever talk and just go nuts. A little more hardcore Henry maybe is what I'm saying, and maybe that's a bad idea, but just don't get all bound up in like brother-sister dynamics and is that person telling the truth and what are they hiding? And then all the just like the kid's a newbie and he doesn't know anything, but eventually he stands up to the man and they get shot for it. And, you know, all these moral ambiguities feel like they're out of place in Doom for me. And that's where I get disappointed and I can't exactly sit with Randy on this. I mean, you're right. It's not the worst. It's not the worst movie by any stretch, but I feel like the game part of it makes me biased. And I'll admit that.
I have played every single Doom game going back to that ridiculous first game that we all played on our old PCs. I can't even remember how bad the PC was back in like 1992 or something.
Mine played on a 386 DX33 is what I played it on. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, there you go. I've played every Doom game. I never once thought about the games while watching this movie. The games did not break into my brain while I was watching this movie.
Well, okay, but here's the other problem. So every time, what's his name from Star Trek? I forgot his name already.
Carl Urban.
No. Doug Jones. Sorry, Doug Jones.
So
Doug Jones would show up in the hallway as an imp. And he's perfect for that because he's tall and lanky and weird looking. So you put that makeup on him and have him do it. But the movie never felt like they were going anywhere or getting any place or anything. It's like there was just two, three rooms, and they'd poke into one half, and the one half of the room would go, rah, and there'd be a guy standing there, Doug Jones standing there in a big suit, and then you kill that one. But did you? You really didn't get anywhere. And that's, I think, my biggest problem with the movie is I don't feel like there was momentum ever. I just never felt like I was going anyplace. And it felt like Mars
jumped between the characters. They jumped between the characters too much and didn't linger in one character's face for too long.
Right.
It was just like,
and ironically, it reminded me of an old homemade Doom level. And this is going to sound strange, but like there were people I knew at the time in the early 90s who were making incredibly articulate Doom levels with multiple floors and secret rooms and crazy multiplayer levels and stuff. And I was so amazed by that. And then somebody else would put one up on Usenet or something that was like two rooms and a toilet. And that's what this felt like.
Right.
This felt like two empty rooms and a toilet. Yeah.
This is like very timely to bring that up. Have you heard that there's, you can download the room information from your Roomba now and turn it into a Doom level.
I was watching that. That is.
Yeah. It's like the last couple of days. This just got, this just came out like, the new Roombas allow you to download the room space, and you can then use a program to turn it into a Doom level.
Wow. That's one of the coolest things we're going to talk about, I've decided.
And that would be way more, that would be way more interesting than the Pinky character who,
Talk about that for a second? Let's talk about Pinky. So say what you're going to say, and then I got a follow up for it.
Okay, I hate that you had such an interesting story that was Pinky, and they just really glossed over it and made him like the man on the other end of the line, arguing with
Well, you know why though? Because here's why: they needed an excuse as to why they could call the alien or the hell creature from the video game, which was named Pinky.
Pinky.
And it was like a pink creature, flesh monster with a mechanical back end to it. It was legs, but it wasn't wheels, but it was legs. And they needed an excuse to have it so that the thing they ended up fighting called Pinky was based on a guy named Pinky.
But if you didn't already, you had such this great looking, because it looked amazing. His character looked amazing running around with, no lower half and the wheels. Mm-hmm. This is 2005. I thought that looked great. I mean, if I had the opportunity to make such an interesting character, I would have explored him a little bit more, because he's got to be crazy, right? If you went through a portal and you never really explained why he got zapped in two different locations and half of his lower body was transported somewhere else. They didn't explain why it just happened that one time, I suppose, that the portal ball split people up. It's just like, there's something really cool and interesting. Let's just gloss over it.
It was a little bit like a throwback to like Star Trek trying to figure out how teleporters or transporters work in the first movie. It's like, sometimes they mess up and chop a dude in half or whatever and all that. But you're right. It's all this buildup with an interesting actor, with an interesting portrayal. And the entire thing is only there to serve this idea that now we have a creature named Pinky, and the video game had a creature named Pinky in it. Oh, it makes me want to kick somebody right in their head. It really annoyed me. And it, you know what? Effects-wise, great. Like, that stuff held up. Yeah. I didn't feel like I was looking at crappy old effects at all. Like, all that stuff looked fine. But, man, you can't jump through those kind of hoops just to name it Pinky.
I guess potential is what probably disappointed me the most in this movie, because it had a lot of potential. It could have went a lot of places, but it just kind of,
and the only reason, by the way, they're called Pinkies in the video game is because the dev team just nicknamed them that. It's like, well, this room's full of Pinkies, and they just named them Pinkies because that's what they are. It's like us saying, it's like Brian was making macaroons today, or macarons, or whatever they're called. And I said, I always call them candy burgers, and I call them that. Like Nick will bring some home from the bakery and say, ooh, candy burgers. And that's just the same thing. It's just this fun little side thing. They didn't have to work it in so hard that I felt like, what's his name from Monty Python's jabbing me in the ribs going,
Yeah, totally. Know what I mean? It was basically like the joke that somebody starts telling. And the setup is so damn obvious right from the beginning of the joke that by the time they finally get to the punchline, you're relieved that the thing is over.
Yeah. When they originally called him Pinky.
Finally, we get to why this is Pinky.
It's like, okay, this is Dr. They introduce him. This is Dr. Pinky. And I went, oh, shit. Really? Really? I just knew it from the minute go. But anyway, whatever. That guy, that was wasted. They could have done so much better.
That was
there.
Wasted.
The Rock did not get top billing. It's just a little note there.
Not even close.
No.
When you look at the, they're supposed to be in order of something.
Yep.
Like he's not even in the top 10. It's weird.
And it's not alphabetical. Right. So I think it's, I mean, it literally goes, what's his name? Dr. McCoy first.
Carl Urban.
Carl Urban. Can never remember his name. Carl Urban, then Rosamund Pike. Then maybe somebody else, and then Dwayne Johnson at the end.
Diobia Uprai. But it's funny because it's either you want that person to be either the first name you see, so starring The Rock, or they should be the last one as kind of like a, and The Rock as Reaper.
Right.
Yeah, right, right. We also, by the way, we also got The Rock.
Exactly. You wouldn't believe who we got.
He was Sarge. If all these people weren't Sarge. Enough, we also have The Rock.
Yeah. But yeah. he has this this thing in his career where I don't think he's ever been a bad guy except for this. I was trying to figure out another movie where he's the villain, and I can't find one.
He started off as the villain, right? He was the Scorpion King, right? He was that was really the first time I really saw him. Yeah,
that's true. But he's isn't that more of a curse?
He was still kind of the anti-hero in that Solo movie, wasn't he? Like he was the villain.
Yeah, he was the villain. He portrayed the villain in the first time.
Brendan Fraser
portrayed it. Right. But then, yeah, he was kind of the anti-hero.
He was misunderstood.
And that was Mummy Returns was where we first saw him, right?
Yeah, I think you're correct. Yeah. Yes.
Not a good movie, by the way. Just throw that out there.
Nah, I thought
and he was barely in it. It was like his CGI face on a spider thing.
Which is great.
Wasn't really The Rock doing much.
Right. It was great. But, see, that movie to me was more entertaining because it was just they went all in. They're like, we're just going to go all in. Yeah. Let's do it.
I could have gone for that here, I think.
Right.
Just a more brave, fearless, hey guys, let's embrace the stupid. And so what ironically worked for me is what you said earlier, and that's the first person shooter bit at the end worked for me more than anything else, because if you're going to go in, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just my 2018 brain talking and I would have felt different in 2005, but I used to love saying that. I miss that the zeros are gone.
the aughts.
Yeah, I miss the aughts. I was low. Now, in 2009, I was getting ready to play Doom 3. Anyway.
Now, we say that this is the only time he's ever played a bad guy. Couldn't everybody involved with the movie Baywatch be considered a bad guy?
We've talked about this. I'm telling you. Now, talk about a movie that went all in. I liked the Baywatch movie. All right?
Maybe we should watch it.
We're watching it for FilmSec at some point. I guarantee it.
Yeah, we probably should.
It is exactly what you think it is. It's like, hey, what would happen if they made a comedy film about a 80s movie that took itself way too serious? Right. 80s TV series.
If we could watch Dukes of Hazzard, we can watch Baywatch.
90s.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd love to. 90s. I would love to watch that with you guys.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do it then. What about those Jump Street movies? They're supposed to be good, right? Isn't that the deal?
Right.
Yeah, I think I saw the first one. And
I saw both of them. I enjoyed both. Yeah, I enjoyed both.
Because aren't they?
But I also enjoyed like Starsky and Hutch, and I don't mind a comedic look at some of our older TV shows.
Movie, the Jump Streets, were written by Phil Lord and that other dude, the Lego movie guys, and then they went on to do the Spider-Man thing now, and like they were early for them. But I'm curious. I never saw any of it because I kind of avoid these. It's funny you say you like those when I hear about a TV show being mushed into movie form, except for the one exception is Beverly Hillbillies. I really liked for some reason. The one movie. Wait, isn't that what you walked out on or something?
No, I sat through that one. We only went to the Dollar Theater for that one, and I sat through it. I would not have felt bad about giving up my dollar for that one, but it was more entertaining listening to the people in the audience who were enjoying it because
I like that
grandma's on the motorcycle now.
I like the juxtaposition of a movie's tone to be contrary to its original series tone. So I like it. Like the Addams Family is based on it's a pretty silly comedy, but the movie is actually a little more serious. And I like that take. And the same with Baywatch, the Baywatch TV series, very serious. Mm-hmm. The movie's comedy. And I like seeing it spin around.
Well, I would argue that it would have been best if Doom would have done the same thing. Embrace your source material. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of being a little cheesy and light and thin, because that's what this source material is. You don't have to add on what you think is layers of complexity. They just come off as false and boring.
But would that have given us, if they would have leaned into it more, would we have gotten more first person? Because I feel like the amount of first person we got was the right amount without it turning into puke fest, hardcore puke Hank, fest. Whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's a valid point, and I think I'm going to agree with you. In fact, I would probably say you have three choices with a movie like this.
Mm-hmm.
You go first person all the time, and it's gross and then bad in its own way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or you make what they made, and third mm-hmm. option is, this is just not a good thing to make a thing.
Yeah,
for.
I mean, you could have done the first person sparingly throughout the movie, had it lean more into the video game origins of it.
Yeah, or have it play more like Crank did. Crank was right. the Doom movie we never got, because Crank is not first person. Well, they don't lean on that trope too much, but it's this constant go, 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 and if you stop, you're going to die kind of speed sort of thing. That would have been better, but I really think the third option of not making the movie at all could have been a good option. Right.
I have another take as well, because I think I would rather have seen something that took the best part of this movie, or the best part of the idea is the idea itself, that the discovery of the portal to Mars. I mean, all that stuff is just so glossed over. I found that way more interesting than another movie about, running
the portal already exists, blah, blah, blah. Let's get to right. The discovery of the portal would have been a great one, and having those first few people venture into it and find this mayhem.
Yeah. Just slow down a little bit and develop my characters a little bit, and fewer characters. This movie reminded me a lot of like a Predator when it first started, the original, with Schwarzenegger. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of that, because you got all these, skilled soldiers going through and doing their thing. And I just felt like when you're putting in such an interesting environment, I think you should focus on the environment a little bit.
I think so. Yeah. So a couple things. Number one, there is a new Doom movie is in post-production.
Yeah.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, if you go to IMDb, you can even see photos from this Doom movie, and it's same kind of thing. Some space, inside of a spaceship kind of feel to it, or inside of a base, lots of blood, maybe even a cave or two, and a bunch of people we don't recognize.
None of these names are ringing a bell. None of them.
No, none of them. And second, can you name the other video game movie that starred The Rock? And Jumanji doesn't count.
I was about to say, Jumanji is kind of a video, right?
Hold on. It came out with a video game.
Hold on. I want to get this right. Rampage.
There you go.
Rampage. Yeah, I just saw that this past year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, everybody did because it just came out this past year.
Did everybody see it, though?
I saw it on video.
Yeah?
The Blu-rays.
Randy, did you see Rampage?
I did not see Rampage. I've been saving it. I don't know what for.
I think for this show, maybe.
Probably for seeing on this show.
Because I did the same. Like, I didn't see it either. It's funny. I ended up getting a Rampage arcade cabinet thing from Walmart, but I didn't see the movie that's based on it. But I'm terrified of that movie. I think it looks like it would probably be terrible, right? No, Dunaway.
It's all right. I mean, it's better than Doom.
Okay,
but it's probably right around 50% for me. It's got its moments, but for the most part, it's kind of silly.
It's all right. Guy making this is known for, let's see, this new Doom. He's known for SWAT Under Siege in 2017. Extraction, Timber Falls, Chaos, In Enemy's Hands, Love, Sex, and Murder, and Soccer Dog, the movie. So,
right.
I think they got the right guy.
Yeah. Not to be confused with Soccer Dog, the breakfast cereal.
Well, yeah, they got the right guy. He has definitely yet to peak.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Listen, what else did Andrzej Barktwak Kwoiak done
before? That name sounds real not familiar at all.
Yeah, he's the director of the Doom we watched.
It's funny though. Mm-hmm. The main character, the cast in this, the main actress given top credit is Amy Mason. Manson. I don't know who that is, but she plays a character named Joan Dark, which sounds a lot like Joanna Dark, which is from the Perfect Dark video game franchise. So I'm just saying, I don't know what they're doing there, but
It's the PlayStation 4 Cinematic Universe, folks. Yeah. PlayStation 3 Cinematic Universe.
Yep, somebody plays someone named Veronica. I assume that's a Code Veronica, a Resident Evil reference.
Right, yeah, exactly.
You got somebody named Captain Hector Savage.
Character named Dr. C. Bandicoot.
Yeah.
I can't tell what that's a reference to. Dr. Bandicoot.
Wow.
That's really good.
Oh, that would be so funny if they did that. Oh, look, Captain Solid Snake has entered the room. Yes.
Listen, if we're going to get the Hasbro Cinematic Universe and we're going to get the Universal Monsters Cinematic Universe and the DC and Marvel, of course, I see no reason we can't have a Capcom Cinematic Universe. Yeah, right. You know, id Software Cinematic Universe.
I'd be into it.
I want to go back and answer your question. You asked, what did Andre Barchowiak ever do? I'll tell you what. He was now directing when we get to Doom, but before this, he was a cinematographer who was responsible for a lot of good films.
Yeah,
like, which surprised me.
Yeah,
he was the guy behind the camera for Terms of Endearment and U.S. Marshals and Speed. He was the cinematographer for Speed. Like, you know, like, it's no wonder eventually he decided to try being the director. Mm-hmm. I just, like you say, maybe he should have stuck with what he was good at.
Yeah, I guess so. Let's see. Oh, yeah.
Which surprised me, because to be a director whose expertise was in cinematography, I was kind of disappointed in the cinematography in this movie.
Yeah.
So,
is there ever, though, a great film that takes place entirely inside corridors?
No.
Right.
No, they're not. I mean, that's the one thing I'll give. Actually, that is pretty good. But Mandy, I just saw it, which had that guy in it with the big teeth, is one of the most beautifully shot things I've ever seen. Like, I've never seen cinematography quite like it. It was one of the most artistic things I've ever seen. What a weird ass movie. But clearly you can pump a lot out of somebody. And you'd think, if you're a cinematographer first and a director second, you would bring that to bear. I'm just not sure he did here, or could maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe Randy's right. Like, too tight of spaces. Like, you can't do much with a dark hall, you know? I don't know. But he went on to do Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li the next year, 2 years later. That was a really bad movie, you guys. A really, really bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you haven't seen
this movie, this movie was struggling for two dings against it. It was a movie in the 2000s that contained Mars in tight spaces.
Yeah.
Yeah. Martin, the 2000s, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you can do things, but you can't do things like he did in, let's see, Dante's Peak, I suppose. Let's see, Speed. He was director of photography for Speed. I'm trying to find some others here. Oh, he did a lot of music video stuff. Rod Stewart's Infatuation video.
That's what messed him up.
Yeah. And he's got something last year called Gray Lady, where he did cinematographer. Mm. Who's the Gray Lady?
Isn't that the New York Times?
80s or Gray Lady?
Nope. It's, Boston police officer goes to Nantucket to investigate the murder of his partner, but he finds more than he bargained for.
A Gray Lady.
I could have sworn there, like, the Gray Lady was a nickname for something like that.
Lady Gray, yeah.
Iron Lady is what you're thinking of?
It is the New York Times. Yeah, I just looked it up. Gray Lady is the New York Times.
Oh, all right. Well, that ain't it. That's some other deal. Unless he's talking about the
Gray Lady. Our president to tweet about the Gray Lady.
Yeah. Good luck.
The failing Gray Lady.
Wait, who owns the... Oh, no. I was thinking of... what's his name? Jeff Bezos owns some paper. What is it? Oh, the Washington...
Oh, does he?
Yeah, the Washington Post.
Post, right. Which is the real reason the president hates the Post. If you want to get right down to it, doesn't matter.
So,
anyway,
so Samantha Grimm, played by Rosamund, I was starting to. She was doing something that I was starting to notice, and if you're doing something that I've started to notice, you've probably done it too many times. And that's when she was screaming. She didn't really scream. She more like had like little outbursts of screams, and she must have done it like 20 times.
Oh, like a little
in like a half an hour.
Yeah,
a little constantly being surprised.
She has permanent scare eyes. Like, her eyes are always scared.
Yeah,
they're on all the time, but her little squeals that she would let out, you're not wrong, she did that quite a bit. She was really struggling mightily, as you'll hear in our clips later, to maintain the visage of an American accent.
Yes, she was.
Was not going great. She's done better since then, but woo, rough business.
And I also enjoyed, there was two fights I enjoyed. Of course, we talked about the Carl Urban and the Rock fight. That was a really good fight. But it was also Destroyer in the match in that one scene where they were down in the container that was electrified. Mm. I thought that was actually pretty decent. Yeah, I enjoyed
it. Hard to see though. Didn't you feel like you couldn't tell what was going on in that room?
Yeah.
It was better lit than the rest of it, because probably because of the electrical arcing.
All right. Yeah, that's true. The whole first person shooter sequence took 14 days to shoot. I thought that was an interesting little bit. I don't know why, but 14 days to do that. Seems like they maybe be better at it now. There are also two working and then in parentheses, they have vibrating BFGs. In the original game, they were called the BFG 3000. They were created for the film. Both of them were kept by Dwayne Johnson, and they are somewhere in his mansion. So there.
I'm keeping these.
Those also
like the stop me. This is the first appearance of it being called the Bioforce gun, using that as the what the acronym or what the initials stands for.
Yeah, and we all knew. I'm sitting there watching it going, it's Big Effing Gun. It's Big Effing Gun. You guys have heard Carmack say it out loud on stage. I know what's going on. And the worst part is it doesn't even work right. They got the part where it shoots out in a big glob and sort of is going to take everything out in its wake is fine. But the way that gun worked is if somebody was in your view, they were dead. It didn't matter. Yeah. The whole point was if they were in your field of view, the BFG killed them. This gun did not
like
do
the
that.
I did like the destruction that they portrayed on screen when it did shoot. It was pretty cool.
It was
melting
fine,
stuff,
but
basically.
Just like you got three shots or something, and it doesn't really. I mean, if you miss, you're just going to melt a wall. Big deal. Mm-hmm. Like that thing sucked. They could have been better.
Yeah, totally.
We're not making the big complaint. The big complaint is this is an R-rated film. There should have been the F word on the name of the gun. Yes.
Oh, yes. Good point. Oh my gosh, Randy, I hadn't thought of that at all. Seriously. Didn't even occur to me.
Because I was screaming when he's in that armory and he looks at it. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. Right. Oh, the Bioforce gun. Sure. Right.
Maybe they were trying to I don't know.
I really like Chekhov's hand too. I kept waiting for when Carmack was walking around with that with his pet hand and kept holding on to it. I'm like, oh, when's that going to come into play? Is he
going to
slap somebody with it? I don't know. Yeah.
Dr. Carmack went in his throes of losing it. Pretty effective. He was all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was like breathing funny and making that weird gurgle noise and stuff. It was all right. I kind of bought into that a little bit. All right. Here's an admission Dwayne The Rock Johnson made. Says, despite the fact that he plays a tough guy in the movie and having a tough guy image in general, he admits to feeling nauseous after playing the original Doom games. All right. You know, some people just get nauseous. It's an equilibrium thing, not a tough guy thing, you dumbasses. I don't like this. I mean, I don't get it. I know a lot of people totally do. My wife does, but she's tougher than me, as we all know. So what does that tell you? What it says is either you can do the quick movement stuff or you can't. It does nothing to do with your manliness.
Right, exactly. Right. Oh, big tough guy can't play a first-person shooter without getting sick.
There are people that do that, but I hate it. Rosamund Pike turned down the role of Rita Skeeter in the Harry Potter films to work on this.
That was a mistake.
Well, specifically Goblet of Fire, which is where that character shows up in 05. She did that to work instead on this and Pride and Prejudice, which also came out in 05.
I have no complaints for the fact that they got who they got for Rita Skeeter, because that woman feels like she lives in the Harry Potter world. I can't remember the actress's name, but she's got the little thin glasses. And
is it Tim Burton's wife? What's her name?
Right.
No, not. You're thinking of Helena Bonham Carter?
Yeah, she's in Harry Potter. Oh, she's somebody else in Harry Potter.
She's one of the Black Order or whatever.
Yeah, the
Death Eaters or whatever they're called.
There you go. Yeah.
Yes.
Miranda Richardson.
Mm. There you go.
Wait.
Miranda Richardson, yeah.
She's not the one that was married to Liam Neeson and then she died, right? Am I thinking
no,
of somebody
that
else?
That is her sister.
Oh, they're
that's
related?
The other Richardson. Oh.
Miranda Richardson.
Shoot.
I've got them all mixed
Natasha,
up.
Natasha Richardson.
Natasha Richardson died, yeah. It was a car accident or something awful.
Yeah.
But anyway, who they got was good. You're right. I totally agree. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Like we said, Rosamund Pike's gone on to do some cool stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Is immediately familiar to me when I see her. I just go, oh.
Speaking of cool stuff, Diobia Opere, who played Destroyer in this film and was third billed, amazingly, he had very little part in the film and got third billing. He has been doing voices for Battle for Azeroth, which is really cool.
Who's the any big names we'd know, or is it mostly random?
I don't think so. I like when I first saw, he's in BFA. I'm like, is he Rastakhan? But no, he's not Rastakhan. I think he just did some other troll voices.
He did trolls. Some of the best trolls this expansion. Okay, hold on, I'm gonna play one because I want to. This guy, if it's him, he's my hero. Here he is.
Descend, swallow the weak.
If it's that guy, he's my
favorite. Yeah, that may be a voice line by Deobia Opere.
Easily my favorite voice in the game.
What you need.
Oh, it's so good. Listen to this. Listen to the sad one.
No one deserves this fate.
I hope that's him.
Do you have him in clips as Destroyer in Doom?
I don't know.
You might recognize
him. I might.
Hello, man.
He's just a really good vocalization of a troll. I love it. It's my favorite by far. And it's not just fake. What do they call it? Fake bacon? No. Wait, Jafakin. They call it Jafakin.
Jafakin. No, really.
But he's not doing that.
That term probably coined around the time.
You're just Jafakin me, man. Right?
Yeah, I think first time I heard it was when WoW landed in 04, so I think that was kind of attached to that. But people have always given it a hard time, saying, "Oh, these are stereotypic voices for these trolls," and he takes it somewhere else.
I am all right, but my friend here is fading fast.
It's just different. I like it.
Not to be confused with Fotalion.
No. Let's not do that. Let's never confuse
that. I am
that.
Confused.
And I mentioned this earlier, but just the whole gang here. We got Dr. Todd Carmack and Dr. Willits, are references to Todd Hollinshead, John Carmack, and Tim Willits, co-owners of id Software, or at the time they were, and developers of the Doom game and its sequels, including Doom 3, which came out in 2004. I thought it was 03. Anyway, upon which this movie is based. So there you go. That's the whole throwback. And they named a guy Pinky. That's the other one. what else? Doug Jones doing imp work. I mentioned that. Oh, I got a trope. Okay, here you go. I hate these. These are my least favorite. And so here you go. Whoops, here we go.
You hate tropes?
I hate this particular trope. A loud monkey jumps on something and screams.
Hold on. The trope goes, we're in a place that is chock full of animals. Yeah. We're looking for danger, and suddenly all the animals start making noise at the same time.
Yes, but it always starts with a damn monkey. Always the monkey. Yeah. Yep, little chimpanzee.
Right in your face.
And I don't count like the Planet of the Apes stuff or any of that. Don't count those, because that's not fair. That's all monkeys all the time, right? But anything where there's they're testing somebody, or they're... Yeah. And even I think Secret of Nim has a point where they're in that place where the accident happens, and I think a monkey starts going and starts screaming. It's like, come on, man, put your monkeys away.
Well, they do the same thing. Usually house horror is based in a house, or usually a cat. Lurking at the top of a closet.
And that's how the cat introduces itself. Yeah. Like, and it jumps out and then just walks away calmly.
We had to give this is a small side note, we had to give our cat Deckard Cain, the cat, a bath today, because his tail, he has pooped on his own tail. And
you don't bathe cats.
Well,
they do that.
You do if they poop on their own tail.
If they poop on their tail, you got to take care of it. So
I just cut it off.
So you go, that'd be great. So to get him into, unlike all other cats I've ever known, if you hold him by the scruff of his neck, that does nothing to stop him from.
Yeah, usually it freezes them. Yeah.
Yeah, not him.
It's Corden. How, I don't want to know. Well, let's not get a animal mistreatment on here. So
No. I don't know what's going on, but it doesn't work on him. So we have to do it in a more sort of manhandled way. And we're doing this in there. Carter's getting ready to wash him, and he won't go in. And in fact, flies up with his claw so hard and fast that now she has got a freaking puncture wound in her shoulder, surrounded by a bruise.
It takes a lot of patience to wash a cat. It's not so bad. They have to get used
to drugs.
It. Yeah, it takes a lot of drugs.
Oh, drugs are a good idea. I didn't think of that.
Not for the cat.
Oh.
For you. Right.
Oh, for me. But couldn't you give it a little sedative or something, and then, put him down?
Maybe some CBD oil or something. I don't know. Just something to mellow it out.
Yes, Randy. What? Sorry.
We just saw a movie two film sacks ago that had sleep spray. And I'm telling I have not stopped thinking about the sleep spray. It just keeps coming up in my, you want to subdue a cat and wash it. You should just little sleep spray right there up the snoot, and you got it.
So what's the, tell me more about the sleep spray. Like, I don't remember when we saw it.
Well, remember that?
Santa Claus versus the Martians thing? Yeah.
Okay.
It's like the kids won't sleep. I'll put them under a triangle and give them some sleep spray. It'll be great.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. All right. Anyone else have any other notes? I've gone through all of mine. There's a screaming monkey. Doug Jones is in the hallway. Right. Nobody goes to Mars on Doom. Actually, was the third game on Doom? Where's the third game set?
You know, there was...
Or I mean Mars.
Yeah, there was a lot of things that were just really scientifically interesting to me. They never really approached, and I wish they had. They said it was some ancient culture or something that did it. Are you talking about that they come from Earth? Was it? I wanted to expand the story more. Did the first time they went through the portal, did they show up? Was that building already there? Was that something that we set up after we discovered it? Because you wouldn't want to jump into a portal and just show up on the Mars planet, with no shelter. That would be bad. Yeah. So
the problem is that the people who do it first can't come back to tell you, don't go there. There's no oxygen.
don't do it.
Oh, this is interesting. Okay, sorry. I was just looking at the setting. Doom 3 is set in the year 2145. The whole point of that game was, yes, there was the space on Mars, but there were no hell beasts in Mars. It's just that we opened another portal at that place, and they all came from hell again, but now we just have to deal with them on Mars.
Right.
The movie didn't...
And Chromosome 24 was kind of interesting. It was more interesting than a lot of the shots they had.
Yeah,
I didn't find it interesting at all.
Yeah,
it's not that good. The story kind of blows in that game. It was written by Matthew J. Costello, who's an author. And let's see, what else has he done? A lot of video game scripts. Seventh Guest, 11th Hour.
I thought it had some interesting ideas.
Yeah, the Starsky and Hutch video game adaptation. The Italian Job adaptation. So it's all like movie adaptations. Here we go. Doom 3 Resurrection. Okay. Just Cause. He wrote the original Just Cause. That was actually pretty good. It's all video games all the time. Good job there, dude. Anyway. Oh, he wrote Child's Play 3, the novel. Yeah. And Child's Play 2. So he wrote two of the Child's Play movies, but not the original. Just novels. So there's two novelizations of Child's Play 1 and 2 he wrote. Yeah, this is what this guy is. He's one of those dudes you hire because you have a movie coming out and you make a novelization of it. That's your guy.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's fine. He made
that's what he should be hired for.
I agree.
That's exactly.
He made check this out. He made Sequest DSV Fire Below, a novel about the TV show Sequest. So that's what we're dealing with here. The point is, hold on. He wrote a vacation novel for the movie Vacation. Oh my gosh, this is crazy.
Now you have me.
Yeah, he also wrote the book for the Rage game later. They must have been real friends with them. Anyway, the point is, that story, even though everyone says, this is based on 3, it's not really. They're on Mars, that's about it, and that's it. They didn't have, and they only dealt with 2 imps, or like 3 imps and some zombie men. That's it. That needed way more than that. Like, Chick in the Bucket, by the way, dude on the experimenting chair while his hands were changing and he was jerking all over the place.
They just used him as like an explanation device and then they left him there.
Yeah, and he's famous for being in like predator suits and stuff. Like, this is a big time body double actor. So I thought, later he'll be like the giant hill general guy or something.
Right. Yeah,
he wasn't. He didn't do any of that. So this is not Doom in any way. You didn't get floating eye heads. You didn't get, Pinky's the best they could do.
They probably were thinking they'd save some stuff for the sequel, right?
Yeah, right. They were actually planning. That's not a bad point. They were planning like, 4 films or something?
Aren't they always, though? And then they suck and then they don't. That's how these go.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's
But if you were writing for 4, I definitely would have taken my time. A little more time.
Yeah. Does anyone here have any love for the Seventh Guest or 11th Hour games?
I love the Seventh. Yeah, I did love the Seventh
Guest for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to say something about Chick in the Bucket, because this movie has an attempt to surprise you by bucket chickening Carl Urban.
Yeah.
But it doesn't realize it. And so it's like, okay, we're going to go on this mission to Mars. And so we kind of recognize that you might have a conflict of interest. So you're, I don't want you to go. Okay. So you stay here and we're going to go get on a helicopter,
right?
Because that's how you get to Mars. And then it's like the movie. By the way, there's a moment where the movie is like, why don't you want me to go? And the Rock is like, I don't know. I just don't want you. It's like, it doesn't have a good reason.
No.
And so, but anyway, then you get on the helicopter and everybody knows you're watching this movie for the first time. You know, without a doubt, Carl Urban's going to come get on that helicopter. That was dumb.
Yep.
They could have done it way better. Yep. They could have all gone to Mars and left Carl Urban behind, and then immediately found themselves in a big fight. And Carl Urban decides to take himself to Mars, and he shows up when they need him most. But no, they decided to have him show up when they're getting on the helicopter. Mm-hmm. You only had a mystery about what he was going to do for like 45 seconds.
Mm.
Give me a break, movie.
Yeah.
Like I said, but take your time. This movie needs to take more time.
I'm going to give you credit, Randy, for turning chicken in the bucket into a verb. So there's
right.
Movies, sometimes they bucket chicken people.
Yeah. No, that's true.
The bucket chickening.
One final note about this guy who wrote the story of Doom 3. He was on part of the team for the original Dungeons & Dragons story treatment. So that's kind of a cool credit, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to have anything on your thing that you want all the nerds to get excited about.
Right.
Dungeons and Dragons story. That's cool.
I'm glad you finished that thought.
Anything on your thing.
Yeah, if you want to get a little thing on your thing, stick it in the thing. All right. Clips. I'm doing clips.
Yeah.
Clips. Sorry, I got a stupid cough all of a sudden. Here we go. These are our clips. These begin with this one here. Where Dr. Carmack is first referenced, and I wrote, nice, is what I wrote.
This is Dr. Carmack.
That's it. That's just, as soon as he said it, I'm
like, that's it.
Yeah. Here's the half-man.
The first I thought it was Carmack, so I was thinking that's where you, like, pre-order your car, and they have it shipped from another dealership somewhere far away.
Oh, I thought it was Carmex, which was that lip balm you'd get when you were a teenager.
There's that, too, yeah.
Here's a half a pinky talking.
There was a time when our travel was susceptible to, let's say, major turbulence.
What does he mean?
He means he went to one galaxy, his ass went to another.
Call it a scientific miscalculation. Unbelievable as it may seem, UAC does make the odd tiny mistake.
Okay, again, British guy, fake. Everybody mm-hmm. should have just been British. I wouldn't have had a problem
yeah.
with that.
Yeah, I've right. been fine with that. It's the future. Everybody in the future. Yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
but the Rock.
The future's British.
Just everybody yeah. but the Rock. Maybe that's what they thought. They said, look, if we don't all pretend to be American, the alternative is the Rock has to pretend to be British.
Can you smell what I am cooking?
I'd be all proper old man like that. That'd be awesome.
Can't do it without doing Patrick Stewart.
All right, here she is using her accent poorly. So here you go.
Excuse me, but I have orders to retrieve data from three servers: anthropology, forensic archaeology, and genetics.
She just is really bumping
servers.
Around.
Genetics. Yeah.
Just rolling around in the mud there. Okay.
Three servers.
Here's another one.
Look, I got an idea. Why don't you ask your CO what your orders are?
Ooh, it's so halfway. It's so halfway.
It's like the anti-Costner, right? It's like...
Oh, my gosh. I forget about that. We ever going to get that on here? We have to see that.
We need to, yeah.
What is it? Robin Hood.
Robin Hood, Men in Thieves.
Prince of Thieves.
Prince of Thieves.
Men in Tights.
Men in Thieves. Men in
Tights. Prince of Tights.
This line here is what I always say to my Mac. This is what I say to my Apple Macintosh. Here you go.
You don't look like a Mac.
All right, that's that.
Is that John Hodgman talking to Justin Long?
You don't look like a Mac.
I don't even remember who said it. Oh, it was Pinky said it to the guy named Mac.
Come on, I want at least a little bit of credit for that's, Justin.
You did.
It was, Hodgman, it was pretty Justin. Good. Welcome all to 2006. It's about a year later.
Five people
those.
Got that, but they're laughing hysterically. Hysterically.
Yeah, hysterically.
Hysterically.
Here's a good use of the a-hole.
Because the walls are electrified. You asshole.
There you go. Good use of the a-hole.
I just like good use of the a-hole. That would be a clip. If somebody was doing a clip of this show.
There aren't many.
It's an R-rated movie. Why doesn't it do that?
I don't know. It doesn't lean into it. You're right. Sometimes I feel like they were like, well, maybe this is supposed to be 13, and then they'd work on it for a while and go, no, hey, Bill says we can go full R. Oh, well, we already did the BSG scene. Oh, okay, well, that's all right. Like, it felt like they weren't sure. They were always on the fence. It's very odd.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Big sucking gun. That's what BSG stands for.
Yeah, big sucking gun, or Battlestar Galactica. All right, here you go. BFG. In fact, here's my next clip.
BFG.
Yeah, there you go. That's all. Just him saying BFG. She is really struggling with this, is what I titled this one.
I didn't figure it was the sort of thing I could jot down on a yearly birthday card.
Oh, she is really struggling.
struggling.
Yearly birthday card.
I feel bad for it, kind of. Because that's hard, it man.
It is silly, though. I mean, and they didn't even have to go, like, all British or all American. She could have just been British. It would have been just fine.
Yeah, right. Her and Urban could have been. And weren't they raised in different places anyway? So, like, you could have faked all that.
Yeah, was he New Zealand or was he?
He's New Zealander, I think. But he can He can fake that English real good with the Lord of the Rings stuff he did. He was fine in that. Mm-hmm. Here's Carmack. What? Oh, Carmack making sounds. This music was very doom, so I want to give it some credit.
Reaper, what you got?
We're chasing something!
What do you mean something?
Something big! Not human!
Oh, man. The dialogue notwithstanding, that music's pretty accurate. Except it would be... They should have done, like... Remember, because the music in Doom used to be, like... what was it called?
Industrial?
No, back when you did digital music in the early 90s on PCs.
8-bit? Oh, no.
Had a name. MIDI. MIDI.
Had a name.
MIDI. MIDI. Oh, sure.
You were talking about the format. Gotcha.
Yeah, so like if you did the... Let's see, I'm going to find it. Original Doom music MIDI. And we're just going to hear
MIDI. I think about MIDI music every Christmas. Because I used to listen to the crap out of Christmas MIDI music.
Oh, that's so MIDI. Let me skip ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty good. And I don't even think it was that good.
That's
great. I think
that's really good. Like, you're playing a great example.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the right one, though. Let's try this one. This might be more accurate. Let's see. Wait. This is still too good.
It's still too good.
Yeah, they've got like modern equipment pushing out MIDI code, which I think is coming out better. If you played it like off the original game, it's much more. It's like hardly even. I mean, at the time, it was cool because that's the best we could do. But, you know, things got better. Here is a figure of speech.
I thought being in the shit was a figure of speech.
Being in the shit. Get it? Because they're in a sewer?
Because they're standing in shit.
Yeah. Martian shit, apparently. I don't know. Who knows? Here's the church guy.
Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
Yeah. You're going to make a cross on your arm when you screw up here in a minute. Didn't he do that just because he swore?
Right.
Yeah, he was because he took the Lord's name in vain.
Right. Yeah. That's a bad swear jar. You should just throw money on it.
Yeah, right.
That's a very bad swear jar.
No. It's like the
it's weird to backtrack through it because the only reason why they showed that was so that later on when you saw his arm when he turned, you would know it was him because he had all the scars on it. And I'm like, wow, they went a long way to get there. But they wouldn't travel a little further for some good story.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
Well, they were done. Guy fell in the hole.
I fell in the damn hole.
Nice, nice. At least his accent was really stupid and over the top. I enjoyed
Borderline Tim Blake Nelson from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah.
Yep. That's a good boy, he'd say.
The sirens love didn't turn me into a hole.
All right, The Rock swears. Here you go.
Doctor, you are going to tell me just what the f*** is going on up here.
It's a good, powerful F-bomb from him. let's see, the lady, what? Oh,
yeah. It came from somewhere, lady.
Oh, yeah, there he is again. He is much more disturbing in that Mandy movie than he is in this. Here's your bone saw.
Here's your bone saw.
All right, just repeated it. Here's some kidney science.
Dogs got kidneys, right? Pigs got kidneys.
Yeah, oh, well, then it's all solved. Dogs and pigs have kidneys.
I got kidneys. Can you milk me?
This one just says this movie is bad. So let's see what I meant.
Chromosome 24.
God.
It's just overly dramatic.
What did Dad always tell us? Oh, I'm like, about chromosomes? Yeah. I don't think that's
not right. Chromosome 24. Yeah. Anything.
Anything but that. It's the cause of all our problems.
Yeah, if you do a search online for Rosamund Pike photos, a very, very attractive woman. However, if you like your Google image search, you could apply the sound to like several of them. Yeah. Like she's looking off the side going, like she didn't quite hear you, or
she more to me. It looks like she's looking at something she thinks might be gross, but is afraid to say anything. You know what I mean?
It's because her eyebrows are permanently up in that kind of like inquisitive.
Inquisitive position. She has that look on her eyes like she just walked into someone's grandmother in her 80s whose boob is flopped out and doesn't know it and doesn't want to say anything. All right, linked. Something about evil. I don't know.
Linked to what? Evil?
Oh my God.
Evil?
Yarg. Angry acting in Doom. Here you go.
It was his first mission!
And it's not going to be my last.
Why was
he not going to be my last?
Why was he shot the kid? Yeah.
Yeah.
The Rock was about to break into song there. I think there was an edit. And he sounds like he's on a stage in a Broadway, and he's about to break into song. Yeah. Listen to it again.
Yeah, here it is again. Good. Listen.
It was his first mission!
And it's not going to be my last.
I'll tell you what I think. Yeah, I totally did.
I didn't set up to be a sergeant initially.
Seriously.
That's my favorite thing of the day.
Sergeanting doesn't come to me naturally.
Naturally. It was just a search mission, I know. Here's something is a bonus thing. This isn't even from the movie. Listen to this.
Happy 400 episodes of Film Sack.
Because somebody was wishing us a happy 400. This guy called him with a bad voice from a cold he has, and he
said love it.
Yeah, thanks, man. We appreciate it.
We'll send you a lozenge.
Yeah, enjoy. It's the Film Sack Checklist. This week, all the aliens and predators tropes you can eat, check. Never trust an entire cast with terrible American accents, check. And goat sucks, check.
Goat sucks.
I didn't like goat. He annoyed me.
It's true.
Trek connections. There are a few, some obvious ones. Carl Urban, who played John Grimm. He was in J.J. Abrams' Trek universe, plays Dr. McCoy currently and probably still will. I assume there'll be more. Dwayne Johnson, who played Sarge, he was on Voyager, played the Pendari champion in the episode Tenskakakatsi. I can't read that. And then finally, Doug Jones, who was Dr. Carmack's imp and the sewer imp in Discovery, plays Commander Saru and Keplian Starfleet officer. That guy's great.
You need an imp.
Yeah.
Doug Jones is your man.
He's your guy. Need somebody in a big ugly suit? We got you covered. The soundtrack, great. I give it an okay for what it was. It's all right. I mean, you know.
It was okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nothing special. Just fit the
I
stuff.
I did like that guitar bit, though. I mean, that was nice and reminiscent of the game. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially during the first-person sequence, they really mm-hmm. tapped into it. So that was cool.
If you're listening to this episode long, long into the future, this is the week that we're all talking about the scoring for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which is phenomenal. And it's really, really hard to watch other things right now because I want great music like that.
Yeah, that movie, dude. Yeah. Best movie of 2018, Fight Me. That's the best movie I saw. I loved it so much. And Randy's right. The music's incredible in it. Let's get to the Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 280 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
Doom! Like a ripoff of Event Horizon made by people who didn't even watch Event Horizon or any other movies.
Oh, I could have used a little crusty faced Dr. Grant. That would have been fine. Remember that?
Yeah,
that was cool. Him and Lawrence Fishburne hanging out on a ship. That's good stuff. Brian Dunaway.
Doom, like an extra chromosome of bad movie making. Doot, doot.
All right.
I get it. Oh, yeah, okay.
It's very good.
Good job. Nice
no,
job.
It just stuck in my head for like ever since I watched the movie. The it's not Portman. Yes, Portman, who's handing out the drugs. Mm-hmm. And as he dispenses
two pills.
He dispenses his pill. Yeah, like Pez. Yep. He dispenses it into his hand.
Yeah.
Doot, doot,
doot, doot, doot. Doot. Yep. Like a good dealer would. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Doom. First person shitter.
Wow.
It's pretty good. Well, you'll love today's alternate titles because there's some similarities. Number one, dumb. That's just a misspelling of Doom, so it doesn't really work.
Yep.
Or the BFG. Get it? Like the book from Roald Dahl about the giant guy, the BFG? See?
The friendly giant.
Sure. Yeah, because that doesn't stand for big effing gun now, does it?
No, it totally doesn't.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Bioforce giant.
Yeah. we got some stuff here email-wise. Got two of them I'm going to read today at the end of the year. Got one from Travis. He sent it to filmsack@gmail.com. He is TV's Travis whenever he shows up in live shows. He says, "Hey, Sackers, just wanted to write in and say thank you for the show. Last week I had a traveling nightmare that ended with me having to drive 6 hours to get home after several hours at airports and trying to get from here to there. FilmSack helped me get home. Listening to you all go on about Escape from L.A., Evil Dead 2, and Minority Report, among others, kept me awake and alert as I drove in the fog. Thank you for all you do and keep on sacking." I thought that was really nice.
Yeah, glad we could be there for you.
Thanks, Travis. Then we got one from Jordan Hillier, I guess is how you'd say it. "Greetings, Sackers. I've been listening since the Adventures in Babysitting episode last year, and since have gone back to listen to all episodes of some of my favorite flicks. Allow me to recommend Turbo Kid. It is currently on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
The film takes place in the post-apocalyptic future of 1997. The movie is Camp Gold. I believe it would be right down Sack Alley. But if you need, or if that does not tickle your pickle," he says that also.
So many similes or like, what's the word? Like,
what do you call those?
Analogies or whatever. Like,
to choose from
camp to street, film sack alley to tickling my pickle.
Yeah, like, tickle your pickle. He says, "I'd also love to hear your commentary on Alien Resurrection, my favorite of the series, or my all-time favorite film, Army of Darkness." Thanks, guys. Jordan. I think Army of Darkness and Alien Resurrection absolutely will at some point get on the show.
Yeah.
I've never heard of Turbo Kid.
How is that your favorite of the series, though?
Well, that's the question.
Yeah, that is a big question. It makes
Have you seen the other three, the first three?
I mean, I like four. I like four, but I don't.
There's aspects of four I like.
There's no way I'm going to ever say it's the best. I'll never say it's the best, ever. So we need to find out where his head's at, and maybe we need to watch it again to find out. But Turbo Kid, no idea what that is. Never heard of it.
Yeah.
But I'll watch it.
More recent.
Then the way you seemed like you knew what it was.
I'm certain we'll watch Army of Darkness if it ever shows up on Netflix for us.
Yeah. That or Prime, maybe. Whatever shows up there. But anyway, thank you for the recommendations. And we'll look into Turbo Kid. Never heard of it. Sounds like something that could be fun. You say it's more recent, but is it jokingly set in 1997, but was made post 97, or was it made in the 80s?
What I'm thinking about is from 2015, unless he's talking about something else.
Well, let's see. Turbo Kid.
That was the one that I remember.
Turbo Kid release trailer 2015. You're right. It says.
Yeah, 2015.
So it's. Okay, so it's a little, you know what it's like? It's like that, Michael Ironsides is in this? Yeah, that's what this is. It's a comic book fan adopts the persona of his favorite hero to save his enthusiastic friend in a post-apocalyptic wasteland of 1997. It's like that car one, the Death Race thing, kind of probably, where they knowingly made a cheesy thing that's set at a time that would, not be apocalyptic. It stars Monroe Chambers, Lawrence LaBeouf, and Michael Ironside. So that's all you need to know. Let's get in there. Let's make it happen. All right. Yeah, good recommendations. And we get these all the time from you guys, so we want to thank you for those. Next week on FilmSack, Randy, you want to do the honors? Who are we watching? What's the movie?
Happy New Year. Now go watch Assassins.
Assassins. This is 1990s. Assassins. Is this the 96-ish one?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. We're going to watch us some Sylvester Stallone to kick off 2019.
95. Oh, yeah. Him and Antonio Banderas, Julianne Moore. Yeah.
Wow. Richard Donner. Look at this. Yeah. The Wachowskis siblings.
Oh, were they in this? They wrote it? Oh, they wrote it.
They wrote a story. Yeah. Okay. Screenplay and story by them.
I'm in. I'm all in. Let's watch it.
Lethal Matrix starring Sylvester Stallone.
Lethal Matrix, Stallone, Banderas. That's how they have it written on the front. Stallone, yeah. Banderas in Assassins. This is back when Banderas was still making things that weren't an animated cat, right? He was still
having, right, yeah, yes.
He still had work. I like him, but you never see him anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, that's fantastic. Let's do that, and that'll be next week. That'll be our first episode of the year 2019. We want to thank you guys all for being with us for 2018. Hope you had a good year. I know we had some fun, and hopefully you did ride along with us. Don't forget, filmsack.com is the website, and if you want to find out more about us, find old shows, get the backlogs, whatever you want to do, that's where you'll get it, at filmsack.com. And if you'd like to email us, filmsack@gmail.com. We're on Twitter, @filmsack, and we'd like you to leave us reviews wherever you get your shows. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
Doot, doot.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I fell in the damn hole.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.